Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I'm with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh, and this is CougarCast, one of the most listened to podcasts for college sports in the world, Tosh. So thank you for listening. If this is your first time, hopefully you'll come back, subscribe, and if you've been with us for a lot, thank you. Tosh, let's talk a little BYU basketball.
It was exactly the week that you expected.
1-1.
I had this bold claim we were going to sweep St. Mary's. That was my bold claim of this basketball season, and we just got punked.
Well, St. Mary's is awfully good. Top 10 team in transition and half-court offense, Tosh, and it was on display against the Cougars. The Cougars either in man or in zone, but in particularly in zone, it seemed even more troublesome, in
my opinion.
They would
just pass the ball around and get a great look. They play a very unselfish, pass-heavy brand of basketball.
So, Tosh, Eric Mika, how awesome is that guy?
He was incredible. He was hitting his jump shots, which when he's hitting those mid-range jumpers, he's unstoppable.
Well, for the last 10 games, he's been draining his mid-range jumpers. It's a great sign for BYU basketball to win games. It's a really bad sign if we're hoping he'll stay around.
Yeah. No, I mean, he looked great.
He's really good. 28 points, 10 rebounds. He basically canceled out the efforts of Jacques Landell for the Gales. But, unfortunately, the Gales have more than Jacques Landell. And you can pick your poison on it. But they were all effective, weren't they? And it just seemed like they were able to move the ball, play together as a team, and they were enhanced together as a team. And I thought that was one of the things that was clearly different between St. Mary's and with BYU, especially in the second half of the basketball game. You know, we had just sauced Eric Mika. He had 28 points, but with 10 minutes left? Is that the number?
Yes. And which was...
10 minutes left. He didn't get another shot off, right?
We just started playing hero ball and using the wrong hero. Like, give the freaking ball to Mika. And that guy, good things happen more often than not.
So, a lot of hero ball. They didn't generate a lot of their shots working as a team. And, Tosh, you know, when we did our preview show last week, one of the things that I'm starting to maybe turn the corner a little bit, I think Dave Rose is struggling a little bit with this team. And I think
he's still not sure, I think, what he's going to do.
I think almost every coach would struggle with this group. I just don't think that there's actually a good mesh.
There's a ton of talent, but zero...
A wing. We don't have a single wing player.
Well...
Who plays wing?
Elijah Bryant. He's the only
maybe, but he seems more comfortable at point.
That is true, but he can play the wing. I think
sure.
He has a
well,
size.
So can TJ.
He has a size and athleticism, but
anyway, we
yeah. You're
but
right.
Even then, like it's kind of asking them to play out of their comfort to go to the wing. I mean, the Cougars don't have a single wing player on their team, so it's just kind of interesting.
All of those possibles guys like the ball in their hand,
right? So. Here's the thing. Like, yeah, the guy that plays the most like a wing is Nick Emery, but he's undersized to be a wing. Anyway, so against St. Mary's, Tosh, I was a little disappointed in Dave Rose's approach to that game. Because, first of all, let's talk about the team as they have the rest of the year in front of them. Okay, they lost to St. Mary's. That's a natural thing that we expected may happen. Tosh, is there a chance that if we get through conference play, is there a chance that BYU and they have three losses in conference, is that enough? Is there a chance they could win the regular season title in the West Coast Conference?
No. The Zags are losing one and I think at most two games this year. I think if we lose to only three times in conference, we might finish second.
I think that would be our best conference season.
Yeah,
or tie for
it. We lose five, it seems like, every year in conference.
So, anyway, so they always are going to have this struggle. But is it possible? Do you think the Cougars could come away with three losses in conference regular season this year? They don't seem to have enough cohesiveness, and
that means we got to beat St. Mary's or Gonzaga once, and then not
slip up against anybody else.
Yeah, it's possible, but that's a rough.
That's a lot to ask.
We got to start playing better team basketball.
And that's the thing that I was going to get after. You know, in the St. Mary's game, the cohesion, the problem with having some continuity with this team. You know, I know they've had some injuries, and with Kyle Davis being out, that makes the bench a little shorter. Also, Jamal Ates wasn't available. And so, you know, there was some hands that were tied there for Dave Rose. But, Tosh, the first guys off the bench for the Cougars against the number 19 St. Mary's Gales were Elijah Bryant, who hasn't played in months, and Corbin Kafusi, who just joined the team 2 weeks ago and still looks like he's a football player out there. And so I disagreed with those decisions, especially with them being the first two off the bench. I just don't think that you can throw in, and I know that they've been in practice and all this other stuff, and Corbin's been with the team for a couple years now, and I get all of that. But my issue is, I just don't think that you can throw out those two guys into the group and have them be learning and getting back into the flow with their teammates and learning to play with one another against a team as good as St. Mary's on the road. The number 19 team in the country in their building, that's not the place to tinker and be like, well, let's see if Elijah Bryant works with these guys.
I'm just trying to think possibly what Rose might have been thinking. And one
well,
is...
Well, Elijah Bryant's good.
Yeah, that's...
Just throw him out there. That's good things happen.
I've got two possible answers. Yeah. One, I think if you look at what this team's problems are, and there's a couple. One is we need to play more team passing offensive
sure.
basketball. The other, though, is defending wings.
Mm-hmm.
And our only possible answer to that is Elijah Bryant. So maybe he thought, we have no chance of winning this game without him. Let's throw him in there. And so, yeah, those are my – I just rolled both my possibilities into one. If I think, one, he thought, we're going to lose this game without these guys, so let's give it a go. And two is that he thinks we need some more wing defense.
Yeah. I just wouldn't have done it because, you know, we were down two when they came in.
Oh yeah,
and then when we made a substitution, I mean it's Corbin's second game of the year. It's been months. It's the first game back after an injury for Elijah Bryant. Like, I just sit there and I think like we were down two, we were there neck and neck, and then we went down and that was it. We never were back to being even close to trying to take the lead again the rest of the way.
Well, we couldn't get a stop.
Well, we couldn't get stopped. But we stopped scoring, too.
We scored,
you couldn't have a section where it all went downhill.
We scored more points per possession than St. Mary's had given up all year. Offensively, they could not,
right.
They could not stop Mika. Our guards played actually decent offensively. Defensively, it was like throw your remote at the TV basketball.
Sure.
They were just killing us.
And that was the thing, though. St. Mary's looks everybody looks bad against St. Mary's. In my opinion, you know, you play against that offense and you're going to look bad. It's just the way it is. They've made almost everyone they play look completely inept when they've tried to. And by the way, Gonzaga is going to have a hard time with St. Mary's.
Yeah.
That's going to be a great game.
Watch game.
It's going to be a great
game. I don't think there's that many games that are getting BYU fans to tune in to WCC basketball
sure.
that don't involve BYU. That game this year, I think lots of BYU fans, myself included, are going to be dialed into both those games.
Anyway, I don't think I would have tried Elijah Bryant and Corbin Kafusi as my first two off the bench on the road in their first action in months against St. Mary's. I wouldn't have done that. And I think that decision was a really bad decision. I would have rather have seen them just try and you throw Braden Shaw out there. You put... You know, TJ at the point, and you go with Bayo at the three and Leafson. And I mean, we didn't see any of that. And then the other thing that we started doing, Tosh, is we started playing four guards. in one big, which isn't really something we've done at all this year.
That doesn't seem like our strength, and since we have two really good bigs.
Well, but beyond that, I mean, Yoli had a rough day out there. But the you go four guards, one big, which is a good idea in general. But again, it can be a good idea, I guess is how I want to put it, as long as you have like a Celius out there who's making threes and able to rebound. He would have really helped this year. But the main thing is I don't really see trying the four guards together against St. Mary's. And that's why it's just like they just tried people and lineups and ideas that we hadn't really tried all year.
Yeah.
And we're tinkering secret and we're going to try this in our biggest game of the year.
Secret weapon.
Against the top 20 team.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Explain that to me. That's unbelievable to me. But the good thing is, you know, Tasha, I would have tried the tinkering and try all those things, the four guards and all that. Because guess what? You played Pacific and you murdered them.
Yeah.
You'd have had a lot of opportunities to tinker if you're Dave Rose in that game. Just wait 2 days. I might have even held Elijah Bryant out so that St. Mary's doesn't get a chance to look at him. Then you play him for 9-10 games, and the next time they see him, he fits in and knows what it is that we'd like him to do, and everybody has a good feel for Elijah Bryant and how he fits into the lineup.
Elijah Bryant, in the second game of the week, was probably our best player, most efficient player. He had 17 points on 7 shots.
That's awesome.
If we can get him like that,
well, yeah, it's obviously great. Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, we're a really good team.
Yeah. So I think he'll really help this team. And you know, some people have said, "Well, how would this season be different if we had Elijah Bryant?" You know, maybe we win against Illinois. Maybe we win against Valpo. I guess.
Maybe, but at the beginning of the year, he's only had one good game. The rest of the games, he kind of has looked.
He was all right against St. Mary's. He was okay.
Was all right. He
got into double figures.
Agreed. But he's had one game where he looked like this player that we were all stoked
for. Sure. And so, Tosh, how does, in your opinion, you think Elijah Bryant, does he change the team enough that we'll see him starting and LJ Rose coming off the bench?
Yep.
How long until that happens?
I think by the end, next week's show, if that hasn't happened, I'll be surprised. I think either... my prediction is the second game this week, the Saturday game, that we see him in the starting lineup and LJ Rose coming off the bench.
Okay.
Don't you think? I mean, I think everybody thinks that's our best lineup.
I think
TJ at the point. Do you not think that that's.
I think TJ. Well, no. I think they're going to play. I think they'll play Bryant at the point and leave TJ at the three. Yeah.
I would love that to be switched. But either way,
I'm not
an LJ Rose hater, but I think he right now, our team's better with him out of the starting lineup.
I think if he came off the bench, it's good. But some of the I don't know. Does the veteran intangibles really matter that much? You know, the numbers might indicate they don't. But
against
St. Mary's, did it make a difference? Yeah, against anyone that's good, it hasn't mattered. The thing is they need a change, Tosh, and maybe it's just in changing the starting lineup and how the minutes are allocated. But as they're currently set up, there's no way, right? It just seems like we're going to go 0-4 against the Gonzaga and St. Mary's this year, as things currently stand.
We, no matter how much better they look, I'm just going historically, we get those guys...
We can find one.
We always find a way to get those guys. Or Gonzaga. Like,
well, actually, it's been reversed recently. They get us here and we get them
that
there.
That is true. Yeah. But I'm just remembering even back to the when we had good old
Hartsock
that went off against a really good.
Right.
And then we controlled that whole game.
Right.
Like, we always get one against those guys.
Yeah. We didn't. The one year that we didn't was the year when they were number one team in the country.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Totally. Olynyk and
yeah.
But we played them really tough both games.
I'm not saying that we're not going to play tough. I just don't know that we'll be able to win any of those games.
This team...
It just feels that way. But what I'm saying is there's got to be some adjustments with the team. You know, and I keep looking to maybe schematically make some changes, you know. Maybe half court, we got to slow down. And you know, I think it's worth a shot trying to slow down and be a little more methodical. Only Pepperdine is worse than you at transition offense. Like, So if you try to run and gun against teams, like almost everyone in the West Coast Conference is in a position to expose you. So maybe it's time to slow down. But maybe the transition offense improves dramatically because of Elijah Bryant. The point is there's got to be some sort of change that's made with the group, because what they have now is good enough to beat the 150 and lower RPIs. But anybody that's worth anything, we're going to really struggle, and it's a coin flip.
I think we have enough talent on this team that I think we're actually going to have the best record we've had in WCC play. But I don't think this team plays team ball enough to be able to make any more noise against... I think we win one more at best against St. Mary's or Gonzaga.
Okay.
Is really what my heart of heart logic.
So I think to have the best record in conference, that would be a 3-loss regular season.
Yeah.
You expect that they're not going to have like some weird game against Portland that they blow.
I just think we've got enough talent that that's not going to happen.
Okay.
This is my weirdest time as a BYU basketball fan I can remember, because here's the dichotomy. One, I think that I am more let down in this team than I have been in a team, BYU basketball, in a while. But I also am very, very high on many of our players that I think, man, we have some real ballers. And so I just have this pull. Like, before this season,
right?
You know, I expected more out of the team, but Mika's better than I expected him to be.
He is.
He's
putting in one of the great seasons by a post player ever.
And Yoeli Childs is way better at this stage of his career than I expected him to be.
He is.
And I think
Emery is about where he was last year, which is fine.
Haas has shown flashes.
Haas is about where we thought he'd be as a freshman.
People, I think, are too hard on Haas. The guy's shooting 40% from three as a freshman.
Right.
Like, do we think he was going to be better than that? Like, he's not... I just don't know what else we're looking for.
Yeah, I just think he's a freshman. You know, he's just got back from France not too long ago. You know, get some time back and playing and getting in the rhythm playing.
LJ Rose, I think people would say, is a disappointment so far. And
he's been okay.
Elijah Bryant is a...
We don't know.
Yeah.
But this is it, though, and this is why I went on the rant a few weeks ago about, you know, they all talk about how important a veteran presence is with LJ Rose. It's like, we could have had a veteran presence. They all transferred away.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, put all of our, you know, fruit in the basket of the Lone Peak 3. And, you know, we could have had guys that I think would have really helped us this year, but they're playing for other schools and they're doing really well. All right, Tosh, so we've now established kind of the new looks, and Elijah Bryant, for me, it's just like, it's an impossible scenario he's been put in, because we've suggested now, because it doesn't appear that Dave Rose is going to make any sort of adjustments defensively or offensively. So the adjustment is Elijah Bryant.
He needs to be the X factor.
And so
I think he's capable of it.
But the thing that's going to make fans excited and stuff is now we got to be able to compete with the two teams that are nationally ranked. And, you know, the question is, does Elijah Bryant make BYU a top 35 team in the country? Top 25 team in the country.
Not 25, but I think he could make us a top 40.
Mm-hmm.
If he can...
We got to take a leap. That's the whole point.
The guy needs to play efficiently. And if he does that, he's... If you had to list players on this team that could make the NBA, he's in the top two. And so if he plays to his potential, then we've got a chance.
Well, it'll be interesting. That is interesting. Who's the other one, Tosh?
Mika.
All right. Well, let's talk about this week's slate of games real quick, Tosh. The Dons are coming to Provo. No more Rex Walters over there. Which, you
two
know,
weeks ago,
I'm a little sad about.
2 weeks ago, the Dons were putting people on notice. Right. You know, they were.
It looked like they might be, you know, turning a corner, might be really special.
Yeah. And they beat Utah. They were having a record of 11-3. And then they played great out of conference. They made it to the final game, the finals in the tournament they were in. And then in conference, they lost to Santa Clara, which is a bad loss. Then they won, and then they just had tough scheduling if they got their butts kicked by Gonzaga and then St. Mary's back-to-back. So they're 1-3 in conference, but they're still a team that scares me a little bit.
The Santa Clara loss, you know, that's going to happen to people sometimes. You know, Santa Clara is a team where if they're hot, they're really good. I mean, Valpo is probably, I mean, they beat Valparaiso.
Yeah.
And you know, that makes no sense. But if Brown Ridge and their other guy is, if they get hot, you know, Santa Clara is just one of those, if they're shooting hot, then they're tough. Otherwise, they're not. So I can forgive that. You know, sometimes you run into a buzzsaw as a team, you know.
This might be a trap game then for BYU. Like, San Francisco.
Well, I think they're really good. Yeah, I think they're a good team, and I think that they should expect to have a really tough outing against them. And we'll just have to see, you know, which team shows up and makes shots, takes care of the ball, and gets things going. But it's a game that the Cougars have to have, right?
Totally. Yeah, this.
I mean,
we're into the part of the season where we have weeks that are cannot lose basketball, and we really cannot lose to these sort of teams.
Well, yeah, and the other bit is you know, I caught a lot of flack on Twitter because I said that the Cougars would be okay after the St. Mary's loss. I just said, you know, if they have, you know, three losses, maybe four losses even.
And people wanted you to say, no, that they are not.
That we're already out. That we're already out. And my whole thing is just to say, listen, I think that if we get through conference season, and let's say we do lose three, and maybe we blow one to somebody, so even four. The point is that still puts the Cougars at like 23 wins, 24 wins, nothing marquee there, and a couple of bad losses. So obviously not a great resume, but weird things can happen.
We've got in, a bubble team, and we've got in those same.
And the point is the whole thing that I meant by okay was at least would still have a case where the selection committee would have to take 1 second and say, what do we think about BYU?
Yeah.
And they're still in a position to make the selection committee ask that question. But if they blow games against San Francisco or San Diego this week, and San Diego's not a joke either.
No.
They've gotten better.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they are 8-8 right now. And yeah, I mean, they're okay. We cannot lose to them, but that's where we're at.
But we're on the road. We're going to San Diego, and road games are tough.
We have to keep winning these games in order to have a chance at being a bubble team.
And that's the point. So I think that if they got to continue to go in and compete and fight and have a hard time. Tosh, I'm going to ask you to you have an acquaintance, you know, you may be even friendly with a great player, Chase Fisher.
Correct.
You shared a story with me once because we got talking about the Big 12 and the impact that would have on basketball. And I kind of said, no, the West Coast Conference is a good basketball conference. I don't really see. But then you told me that Chase Fisher admitted to you.
So Chase Fisher, I would say, is an acquaintance, but great guy. I mean, it might butt into a friendship. But he told me when we were getting... When, you know, the whole Big 12 drama was going on, he said, man, it would be incredible if BYU basketball got into the Big 12. And then he said to me something that fans have been worried has happened for a long time. He said, it would just be so much easier as a player to get up for those arenas and for those teams week to week, where in the WCC, oftentimes, no matter what the coaches say, it is hard for us to get really pumped up for some of these teams in these places that are not basketball schools.
Right.
And because of that, they lost something they shouldn't have lost.
Right. Well, I mean, and beyond that, you're in Malibu and the beach is there and you're going to go and dig your toes in the sand. You're in San Diego.
There's fans right now that are mad thinking, if I was playing college basketball, I'd get up against everybody. But these guys are humans.
It's a grind. Well, and it's a grind. It's a 35-game season.
And if it's a team that you've heard of growing up,
right,
you have a lot easier time getting excited.
I mean, it does seem kind of insane to me because it's like, well, I'm going to be way more pumped to play a game against, Texas Tech than I am to play San Francisco. And I don't know why that seems to be the case. It was at least for Chase Fisher when you had that conversation.
Yep.
I hope it was okay for me to use your private conversations first.
We'll find out.
Okay. Anyway.
Don't tweet the show if not.
All right. Well, anyway, you know, you better hope that he hasn't listened to the show, at least when he was a player.
He's in Europe right now, so yeah, that's true.
Anyway, that is it for this week's CougarCast. Tosh, you want to make a prediction? 2-0? 1-1? 0-2?
And the, I 2-0. Think 2-0 going away. I feel like this team, against these bad teams lately, the last several weeks, we have put these teams away, all except LMU.
Yeah, I think actually you're going to see a couple of grinder games. Maybe some Gruden grinder games.
Nice.
No, I just think... I think what you're going to see is both these games might be a little bit tougher. I don't think you're going to see a 30-point win. But I'm with you. I think that they will show up. They'll go 2-0. That road game against San Francisco, I'm a little more concerned about. But at home, I feel okay about it. Once the Dons came in there and just rained threes all over us, and we ended up losing at home. But I don't expect that to happen. That seemed kind of like an unexpected anomaly, Tosh. So that's it. So we'll both say 2-0 this week. You think going away a couple times? 20-point wins?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like us by 10
I think
at most.
This is the Elijah Bryant coming out week, that he has big games and he's a force to be reckoned with the rest of the year.
From your lips to God's ears. Thanks for listening to CougarCast.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!